everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
All right, and welcome back to another episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. My name is Ja, and today we're talking about week one. We're talking about week one of the fantasy football season. The NFL season's finally here. Summer's over, fall has arrived, and now it's time to go ahead and put pen to paper and, you know, set our lineups. So I want to do this the right way. I want to go matchup by matchup in the NFL this week and highlight the players who I think have the most opportunity to make an impact on your fantasy teams. This gives me the best opportunity to hit all the players that you guys might have on your different fantasy teams, provide insight into each matchup, and I'll try to go ahead and highlight maybe some of the weaknesses of each, you know, respective defense, so that way you guys can take that information, do what you want with it. I'll give you my recommendations as to what players can benefit. But at least if you know, hey, this is what a defense does well, this is what they don't do well, you can use your own independent thought and set your lineup using that. But I want to start this off with the first matchup of the week, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens defense is going to be really interesting this year. They let go of linebacker Patrick Queen. Patrick Queen was a damn good linebacker. And I think that Travis Kelce of the Chiefs probably stands to benefit the most. Travis Kelce's player prop this week is around 6.5 receptions. I would hit the over. I think him and Patrick Mahomes are going to display that chemistry. I think Travis Kelce is going to come in with a vengeance because last year maybe wasn't the year he wanted to have. And yeah, I think he takes advantage of those linebacker transitions. Now, another player who I think stands to benefit against the Baltimore Ravens is Isaiah Pacheco. The Baltimore Ravens have always had a really strong defense, but if you have to find a weaker point of the defense, it's usually been the interior gap run defense, right? Like if you have a big bruiser back who can run up the middle, who can run against these D tackles, that gives you the best chance at success, mostly because the Ravens historically have had great linebackers, great safeties, and so forth. Isaiah Pacheco is a downhill physical runner. He does not go down on the first hit or the first, you know, side of contact. So I do think that he stands to benefit. He's probably one of my favorite plays for an anytime touchdown this week. I really like Isaiah Pacheco to score a touchdown this week. I think the guy's good for about 65 to 70-ish yards. If the Chiefs do end up winning this game or they get any sort of a lead, I think they'll protect that lead with Isaiah Pacheco. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out for the next 4 weeks. Truth be told, man, I don't even know who the fuck their backup running back is. I think Pacheco is stepping into a workhorse role for the first month of the season. I got Pacheco as a low-end RB1, high-end RB2. And Patrick Mahomes, he's the hardest one to call this week. I think Patrick Mahomes, I want to say he will be good for around 250, two touchdowns and a turnover, right? So 250 in fantasy football is around 10 points. If you play with 4-point passing touchdowns, two touchdowns would get you up to 18. A turnover gets you down to 16. Maybe he rushes for about 20 to 30-ish yards, so he's around 19, maybe 20 points. I believe the Baltimore Ravens are coming in with a vengeance. All they heard all offseason was how they choke against the Chiefs every year. I believe that Patrick Mahomes has some new weapons, and while those weapons will do well over the course of the season, it is going to be his first week playing with guys like Xavier Worthy. Now, Hollywood Brown is out of the mix, so the lineup of receivers will be Xavier Worthy. It'll be Juju Smith-Schuster, who recently signed over from the Patriots, and it will be Travis Kelce along with Rashee Rice. I believe Rashee Rice will see the most receptions of these wide receivers because he's familiar with the system. He has the most chemistry. It's week one. Chemistry matters now more than it ever will. I believe Rashee Rice has a busy day. I think Travis Kelce gets a ton of receptions, and I think those two lead the way. Xavier Worthy is probably due for a big play or two. If there's a guy who has a highlight play from this matchup, it'll likely be Xavier Worthy, just because we know he's a burner. He has the 40 record time for the NFL scouting combine. And, you know, I think Patrick Mahomes with his arm will connect with Xavier Worthy at some point down the field. It's bound to happen. I got Worthy as a really solid flex play. I got Rashee Rice as a middle of the pack, low end wide receiver too. Juju Smith-Schuster, I don't really have super high hopes for. I think the receptions he will get will be low depth of target. I don't think he's going to get a bunch downfield. And, yeah, Travis Kelce I have as a top five tight end this week. Patrick Mahomes, he'll score about 20-ish points, low-end QB1 for me this week. Now, on the opposite side, you have the Kansas City Chiefs defense going against the Baltimore Ravens offense. Derrick Henry is probably going to be a lock for me as a top 7 or 8 running back this week. The Kansas City Chiefs defensive line with Chris Jones has some vulnerabilities. Outside of Chris Jones, they don't have a second defensive tackle that really holds things down, right? So if the Ravens were to attack the Chiefs, I think the point to attack, funny enough, would be Chris Jones. Tire him out early. Make him work. Make him fight off blocks. The Chiefs also let go of L'Jarius Sneed, who was their cornerback one. Zay Flowers, who had a pretty good season last year, I expect that to continue. I would not be surprised if he's the target leader amongst wide receivers. And Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, does run a lot of blitzes. He is a really aggressive play caller. Don't be surprised if Zay Flowers gets behind somebody and catches a long pass from Lamar Jackson, who has the ability to roll out, create time, which allows Zay Flowers to create separation, and then they meet. Now, I also believe that Mark Andrews is going to have a really good day. Maybe not as good of a day as Travis Kelce. I got Mark Andrews as a top 10 tight end. You don't really need much to be a top 10 tight end. But I do believe that outside of maybe Nick Bolton, linebacker for the Chiefs, there's not... I don't think there's much stopping Mark Andrews from getting a bunch of easy receptions. And yeah, I think he'll be a primal or a prime target for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson in himself is probably going to have a pretty decent day. I think that he rushes for around 50-ish rushing yards this week. And in terms of passing, I think he hits about 200 yards. I could see Zay Flowers having a 70-80-yard day. Mark Andrews having a 60-70-yard day. Maybe Rashad Bateman comes in, catches 40-ish yards, and, you know, a couple throws to the backfield to Justice Hill. Maybe a Derrick Henry, maybe a third wide receiver gets him an extra 20, 30-ish yards. So I got Lamar Jackson 50 yards on the ground, around 200-ish through the air. And in regards to fantasy football, that's about 13 points off of pure yards, and I think he scores one touchdown, so he's going to be similar to Patrick Mahomes and scoring around 19 to 20-ish points. And, you know, hey, that could do the job for you as a QB1. It's not going to be the best performance of the week, but he'll step in and he'll put up the points that, you know, won't hurt your team necessarily, especially to start off in week one. And Packers versus Eagles on Friday night, playing from Brazil. We got a lot of fantasy relevant players in this game. Guys like Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts. So starting off with the Packers defense, it is going to be a new scheme. They brought in defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley from Boston College. The Packers are shifting to a 4-3 defensive scheme, so there could be some growing pains there. On behalf of the Eagles offense, I do see Jalen Hurts having a relatively good day. The Packers historically, especially at last year, they struggled with their run defense. I think Jeff Hafley is going to be more aggressive. I think he'll blitz a lot more, but I have to see it first to believe it. And yeah, the Packers' main issue last year was they just didn't know how to tackle. Like, they just sucked at wrapping up. We'll see what happens with that, but going against Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, I expect the Eagles to emphasize the run game. So I think Saquon Barkley against this Packers defense will have a really good day, and I actually believe Jalen Hurts will have a pretty productive day as well. Saquon Barkley, I have him estimated for probably around 80 to 90-ish yards. He's definitely going to score a touchdown, and I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Hurts also gets a touchdown on the ground. Saquon Barkley's a top 10 running back play for me this week. Jalen Hurts is going to have a really, really strong floor with rushing upside, and I have Jalen Hurts as a top 10 play somewhere between 3 and 7. He's going to be somewhere between QB 3 and QB 7. Now, the secondary on the Packers' behalf is pretty good. I think it's improving. I'm really interested to see what Jeff Hafley does with this defense and how they perform, but just going off of what they did last year, yeah, I got Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts running the track on the ground and having decent rushing days. On the Philadelphia Eagles defense, the Eagles have a lot to prove as well. In 2023, the Eagles allowed the fifth most passing yards in the league, and they had probably one of the worst coverage grades in the NFL. Now, they have injuries to guys like James Bradbury, one of their, you know, better defensive backs, and the Packers have a multitude of wide receivers ready to eat. They got Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave. It's going to be a field day for Jordan Love. I have Jordan Love as a top five quarterback play this week. I have really high expectations for him. In Vegas right now, his over-under for passing touchdowns is at 1.5. That's way too low. That's absolutely way too low for the secondary that he's about to go up against with a healthy Christian Watson and a healthy wide receiving core. Another thing about the Eagles defense is the Eagles have a really strong defensive line. So Josh Jacobs may have a little bit, I don't know if I'll call it a struggle, because what I imagine happening is I imagine the Packers winning this game, and I do think they throw the ball really well this week. I could see Josh Jacobs getting his run in garbage time, getting a bunch of opportunities towards the end of the game. But the question with Josh Jacobs is, you know, he doesn't really have much depth behind him. Marshawn Lloyd has been on and off with an injury. We don't know if he's going to come into this week fully healthy. Emmanuel Wilson isn't anyone to write home about. So I expect Josh Jacobs to see 20 touches this week. This year, I believe Josh Jacobs is going to get probably close to 300 touches. The way they structured his contract, they only really owe him this year. And then every year is a year-by-year case. Josh Jacobs, if I'm going to meet you in the middle against a strong Eagles defensive line, I'll say Jacobs goes for about 70-ish yards on the ground. I think he catches a couple passes out of the backfield, but I do think he gets that elusive touchdown. I do think that the Packers get into the end zone, they get to the 5-yard line, they get to the goal line, and they give Josh Jacobs 2 to 3 attempts to go ahead and punch it in. So I do have Josh Jacobs locked in for a touchdown this week. I got him going for around 70-ish yards on the ground to be conservative. And even with those numbers, you're talking about 13 points, add in a couple catches, which we know he'll have. Aaron Jones was super active in the backfield on a reception point. But I do believe that Josh Jacobs will get you around 15, 16 points. That'll qualify for low-end RB1 numbers. He'll do you justice, and he'll do just enough to go ahead and make you not regret starting him this week. All right, and the next game we got is the Atlanta Falcons versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's go ahead and start off with the Steelers offensive players and who stands to benefit. Najee Harris, I believe, is going to have a really great day. I have him as a top 10 running back. Lock it in. The Atlanta Falcons have historically struggled with their run defense. In 2023, the Atlanta Falcons ranked 20th in rushing defense. That's still an area of concern. They had an opportunity to draft a, you know, somebody in the first round to maybe go ahead and seal that up. They took Michael Penix. I know they have had a couple free agency additions, but until they show me differently, their run defense is still an area of concern. They have struggles with tackling, kind of similar to the Packers, right? Marcus Murphy, who is their safety, he is somebody who kind of struggles to wrap up and tackle a lot. And so if your defensive line struggles to tackle and your last line of defense, your safety, struggles to tackle, I think that should give Najee Harris opportunity to go ahead and succeed. Russell Wilson, I don't really have super high hopes for. He's a QB2 for me this week. If you play in Superflex, I think he's startable, right? I don't really have too high of hopes for Russell Wilson. He might rush for, you know, a few yards here or there, especially if the defensive line is somewhat weak to rushing attacks. However, I don't see him throwing a ton of touchdowns this week. George Pickens is someone who I believe will have a relatively decent day. Going back to Marcus Murphy, their starting safety, he struggles to tackle. We know how physical George Pickens is. We know how viable he is as a deep threat. We know how well Russell Wilson throws a deep ball. And I expect him and George Pickens to connect multiple times on Sunday. I got Pickens as a really nice wide receiver too. And at his best, he'll be a low-end wide receiver one. But I think he could be a target hog. My only concern is the Steelers' play calling with Arthur Smith. We know Russ can throw it deep, Pickens can catch it deep, but historically Arthur Smith has loved to run the ball past the tight ends. Freiermuth, I think, will have a relatively decent day. I got him as a low-end tight end one, maybe like my tight end 10, tight end 9 on the week. And, yeah, I think the Steelers are going to play a really aggressive, hard-nosed, you know, classic style of ball this week, and that Russian attack is gonna show itself. Now, on the other side, talking about the Steelers defense and talking about the Falcons players who could benefit, the Steelers defense has always been celebrated. It's something that we've always acknowledged as being one of the better defenses in the NFL. However, they do have some issues, especially when it comes to the secondary. Now, they have Joey Porter Jr., who's a young cornerback, but dude looks really impressive these last couple of years, right? They have guys like Patrick Peterson and Levi Wallace. Patrick Peterson is like a year or two away from retirement. Levi Wallace is a cool cornerback. But one issue that even Joey Porter has had, and this comes back to the Marcus Murphy point, these guys have trouble tackling, right? Drake London is a large receiver. He's a big dude. And with Kirk Cousins, he's going to have the most accurate pass thrower that he's probably had in his NFL career. Kirk Cousins is going to be able to go ahead and break down the defense pre-snap. He's going to throw accurate passes downfield. He's going to know when to go to the hot read. And just being honest, especially if Kyle Pitts does not play this week, because there's rumors that Kyle Pitts, once again, may not play, Drake London, similar to George Pickens, could just end up being a target hog. So that's something that we'll have to watch out for. The Steelers defensive line, with Cam Hayward, with Larry Ogunjobi, I think they'll do their part and they'll hold up. Bijan Robinson will have a pretty cool day. I wouldn't be surprised if Bijan broke out like one large big run, but I got Bijan as like a mid-tier RB1. I think Tyler Algier could come in and vulture him for a touchdown, especially against this defensive line, especially in, you know, the goal line territory. I wouldn't be surprised. I got Bijan as a mid-tier RB1. I think he goes for 75 and a touchdown. I know I've been calling a lot of people for 75 and a touchdown, but this is the Steelers. This is their defense. It is week one. They got everybody healthy. TJ Watt is still a part of this defense, and I don't think Bijan's going to be able to go ahead and just have a field day against the Steelers. So yeah, I think the biggest performers from this week are going to be Bijan and Drake London out of both teams. I think George Pickens has a relatively good day. Kirk Cousins probably goes for around maybe 200-ish yards. He doesn't really have many reception or many receiving options outside of Drake London, especially if Kyle Pitts does not play. He'll be throwing to, who else, Darnell Mooney, right? Bijan Robinson might catch a couple passes out of the backfield, and they might, you know, throw a couple to the subbed tight end too. But the Falcons just don't have a ton of receiving weapons. And so I don't expect Kirk Cousins to have a day like he would have with the Vikings where, you know, he has a Jordan Addison and he has a Justin Jefferson and he has TJ Hockenson and he has Dalvin Cook or whoever out of the backfield. It's not that. So I got Kirk Cousins as a high-end QB2, low-end QB1 at best. And Russell Wilson's in that mid-tier QB2 conversation for me this week. Pat Freiermuth is a top 10 tight end for me as well. All right, and the next game is going to be the Arizona Cardinals versus the Buffalo Bills. And let's talk about Arizona's defense. Arizona had the worst rush defense in the NFL last season. Arizona averaged about 143 rushing yards per game. That's really bad. Even if they improve by 20 to 30%, that defense is still allowing over 100 yards rushing per game. And with James Cook being the workhorse back in the Buffalo Bills backfield, I think he stands to benefit. I think we see James Cook hit over 100 yards rushing. I have him as a top five, top six running back option for you this week. I think he gets into the end zone as well. And I also think Josh Allen eats some too. Right? I think their top two rushing threats are Josh Allen and James Cook, and they'll both benefit from the Cardinals struggling to stop the run game. So while I have James Cook benefiting, I have Josh Allen benefiting on the ground. I also have Dalton Kincaid benefiting. So with the Arizona Cardinals, I think they just have a lack of playmakers, right? They have guys like Buda Baker on, you know, their team. And they have some young guns who are starting to kind of, you know, make somewhat of a name for themselves. But they don't really have a super strong linebacking core, especially not a linebacking core that's good in pass coverage. And I think with the absence of Stephon Diggs, Dalton Kincaid is probably going to see a lot more opportunity and targets compared to what he saw last year. I have Dalton Kincaid as a breakout candidate this NFL season. And I have Dalton Kincaid as a top five tight end play for me this week. On the Arizona offense, there's a couple guys who I think also stand to benefit. I think that within the Buffalo Bills defense, Matt Milano is out indefinitely. Matt Milano is the Bills, or one of the Bills, you know, better linebackers. I think that the Bills have lost a couple key guys like safeties Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. So I think they will be vulnerable down the field in the secondary while they kind of adjust to fill those, you know, those two guys' role. I think Kyler Murray, especially with the deep passing game, is going to find opportunity to strike a Greg Dortch or strike a Marvin Harrison or strike a Trey McBride downfield. Now that, you know, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde are no longer there at safety for the Buffalo Bills, they're undergoing some transition. And I also believe that James Conner is going to have a relatively good day, especially with the Bills losing Matt Milano, their star linebacker, right? If James Conner can get past that first level, he should have, you know, an easier time gaining yards, gaining yards after contact. He could easily come out and be a low-end RB1 for you this week, high-end RB2 at worst. And I think Kyler Murray and James Conner are going to eat. And I believe Marvin Harrison will have a pretty productive day as well. I got Marvin Harrison tapped in for about five catches. I think he averages around 14 yards per catch, right? Obviously, we know the safeties aren't there for the Buffalo Bills anymore. We know Matt Milano's not there. Marvin Harrison's going to have a relatively good day with about five receptions. I think he goes for about 60 to 70 yards. Trey McBride is a top five tight end for me as well, alongside with Dalton Kincaid. I hate to say it again, but Matt Milano not being there matters. And I think, I think Trey McBride has a really strong day on the ground. I think Kyler Murray is going to be able to scramble, create time, allow Trey McBride to create space. I think they continue to pick up where they left off last year, and Trey McBride goes out there and he's a top five play for you at the tight end position. Oh, and you can't forget about Josh Allen either. I know I talked about how Josh Allen's going to eat on the ground. I think Josh Allen has a case at being an MVP candidate this year. I think without Stephon Diggs, his storyline is going to, you know, it's gonna stir some waves, create some motion. Josh Allen, I believe, will go for about 40 to 50-ish yards. He's going to score touchdowns against this, you know, Arizona Cardinals defense. I have the Bills winning this game largely because of Allen. And I think with, you know, Keon Coleman, who is a project, I think Keon has, you know, maybe 3 to 4 catches. He might have a highlight play here or there. Dalton Kincaid's going to be the star of the passing attack. James Cook is going to catch a couple out of the backfield. I think Khalil Shakir, another guy who's going to be a great possession receiver, he's going to work a lot of underneath routes. He'll get a lot of catches between 6 to 10 yards. I think Josh Allen puts up a relatively decent day. I think he has about 220 through the air, 40 to 50 on the ground. I think he gets 3 total touchdowns, 1 on the ground, 2 through the air. And I have Josh Allen as a top 5 quarterback play for me as well this week. So a lot of top 5 players and a lot of those guys coming out of Buffalo. And the Tennessee Titans and Chicago Bears are the next matchup. I'm just going to start this off by saying I do not expect Tony Pollard to have the biggest day in terms of rushing, or Tyjae Spears to have the biggest day in terms of rushing against the Chicago Bears defense. So with Tremaine Edmonds, with TJ Edwards, they are really strong against the run. Those are the Chicago Bears' two linebackers. If there's any weakness that those guys have, it's typically in their coverage skills. So while I don't expect Tony Pollard or Tyjae Spears to have the biggest day on the ground, I do think that Tony Pollard, being a guy who catches a lot of passes, who has caught a lot of passes, he might be able to go ahead and exploit those linebackers and, you know, rack up the catches than the receiving yards. The Bears have a pretty solid secondary, and the defensive line, they don't have maybe proven playmakers outside of Montez Sweat, but it's good enough, right? Like, the Bears' defense was never their issue last year. It was always their offense. So I think the offense for the Tennessee Titans will have some work to do. I believe that Tony Pollard could, once again, exploit the Bears' linebacker coverage, especially, you know, obviously in the passing game. And Will Levis, the quarterback for the Titans, he's been a popular breakout candidate amongst a lot of fantasy football analysts. And I think week one, he might have some time to make plays. I know the defensive line for the Bears is solid, but it's nothing over the top. So I think Will Levis, who does move around well, who does have a really strong arm, who isn't afraid to throw downfield, he could go ahead and kind of make plays happen. On the opposite side, for the Chicago Bears offense, the offense that everyone's kind of been talking about, they have a really interesting matchup against the Titans defense. So the Titans lost their sack leader from 2023, Denico Autry, and they haven't really replaced him. I think the Titans are probably going to have a little bit weaker of a pass rush. The Titans secondary added L'Jarius Sneed. So I think L'Jarius Sneed likely follows DJ Moore around the field. I think DJ Moore is probably around maybe like wide receiver 20 this week. If L'Jarius Sneed does shadow him, I think that that'll put pressure on Moore. He may not be as open, and that could limit his potential, you know, production on Sunday. Calvin Ridley for the Tennessee Titans and Keenan Allen for the Chicago Bears are two guys who I have ranked somewhat similarly. I think Keenan Allen's going to be the benefactor if he's not the person who's trailed by L'Jarius Sneed, which I don't project him to be. And I think that he'll be the guy who Caleb Williams targets if DJ Moore does get shut down. So Calvin Ridley could be a guy on the opposite side who produces similar to Keenan Allen, because the Bears don't really have like a super strong secondary unit. It's solid, it's cool, but it's nothing, once again, to write home about. So, yeah, I got Calvin Ridley and Keenan Allen both going for about 6 or 7 catches this week. I think both of them see around 10 to 12 yards per catch. So we could see both those guys hitting around 70 yards receiving, 6, 7 catches, you know, in terms of their reception output. And Caleb Williams, just given the Titans' pass rush issues, once again, they lost, you know, DeNico Autry. I think Williams could have a relatively strong debut because he's not going to have as much of a pass rush to fight against. That'll allow him in his first game in the NFL to, you know, find guys throughout the field. He'll have an extra second or so to process the field, to process what's going on, to make the right throw. And there's no better gift you can give a rookie quarterback than time to make the right decision. So I do have Caleb Williams having a pretty solid game against the Titans. I think Caleb Williams probably produces as a low-end QB1. He has a ton of weapons. DeAndre Swift is one of my favorite breakout candidates for the season. I think that he's going to be a top 10 running back on the year. And I think against the Tennessee Titans defense, he's going to eat. He's going to have receptions out of the backfield. Coming from Caleb Williams, he's going to have rushes because I do believe the Bears will beat the Titans. So I believe towards the end of the game, he might be able to go ahead and get those garbage time touches. I got DeAndre Swift easily going for over 80 to 85 rushing yards. I think he has around 35 to 40 receiving yards. So all-purpose yards-wise, he'll have something north of 120. And I believe he also sees the end zone as the primary back in Chicago. And I think that he is probably, of all players, the one who produces the most points from this Tennessee Titans and Chicago Bears matchup. DeAndre Hopkins is another guy on the Titans. He's cool. I got D-Hop will likely get a touchdown. That's the thing about him is that he may not have the most productive day, but he'll get his red zone targets and he'll come down with his red zone targets. That's something he has always done throughout his career. So I think D-Hop could see a touchdown. He'll see a couple catches here or there. I have him more in like that wide receiver 3 territory, low end wide receiver 2 territory. I think the Titans offense maybe struggles a little bit coming out of the gates. And I think the Bears, especially without DeNico Autry and without that pass rush, Caleb Williams is going to see time to go ahead and make those passes work. Legarius Sneed, who's a top 5, top 6 cornerback in the NFL, is likely to shadow DJ Moore, who is their wide receiver 1. So DJ Moore's production could be limited. I think Keenan Allen is a benefactor of that. I think Rome Odunze is another guy who's going to catch a few passes here or there. Rome Odunze is a really hard projection to make. I have him as like a wide receiver 3 this week. I think as the season progresses, he'll become better and better. I think this year he'll peak as like a, every week you can start him as like a wide receiver 2 by the end of season. But yeah, those are my thoughts on like the receivers and running backs from this matchup. Cole Kmet is going to be really interesting to watch because they did bring in Gerald Everett. It looks like those guys are going to be splitting snaps. So I don't have either of them within my top 10 tight ends. I think Cole Kmet is probably like a high-end tight end too. And Chig Okonkwo for the Tennessee Titans, probably like a mid-tier tight end too. Maybe he'll catch like a lucky touchdown or so, but I'm not expecting really much from Chig Okonkwo this season. All right, and next up we got the Bengals versus the Patriots. This one should be pretty quick. The New England Patriots offense really isn't anything to write home about. Their starting quarterback this year will be Jacoby Brissett. He'll at least be a placeholder until they feel comfortable starting Drake May. If the Bengals have a weakness, it's that the Bengals have a tendency to give up explosive plays. They gave up a lot of explosive plays last season, both in the air and on the ground. But the Patriots on offense don't have a lot of explosive playmakers. Ramondre Stevenson is not an explosive playmaker. Jalen Polk is probably the guy who comes closest to that. And obviously Jacoby Brissett is a dink and dunk type of quarterback. He's a placeholder. There's not really much more to say outside of that. When it comes to the Patriots defense, however, they have a couple more areas to attack. The Patriots gave up Matthew Judon, who was their star edge rusher. So they'll be filling in with guys like Keon White, to try to, you know, replace Matthew in the defense. But we'll kind of have to wait to see how that goes. And if you take away, you know, the Patriots star edge rusher, right, if you go ahead and take into account that they have made changes in their secondary, while they still do have Christian Gonzalez back there, the changes in their pass rush and in the secondary is going to provide opportunity for Joe Burrow. I don't know if Ja'Marr Chase is going to play this week. We know that he's in the midst of contract disputes. In the case that T. Higgins starts and Ja'Marr Chase does not, I have T. Higgins as a top 10 play at wide receiver. If Ja'Marr Chase does play, while he's practiced in OTAs and he really hasn't been available this last week or so, I'll have Ja'Marr Chase probably as like a top 15 play at wide receiver. I would put T. Higgins slightly higher just because he's been consistently active in OTAs and practices. And I think that'll kind of you'll see the reward from that in the actual game. Outside of that, I don't know much about who's going to start at running back for the Bengals. So that's kind of a toss up between, you know, Chase Brown and Zach Moss. So I'm not even going to try to predict that. And for the Patriots, I'm not really starting any Patriots on my lineup. I would maybe start Ramondre as a flex and hope that maybe he gets like a red zone touchdown, goal line touchdown. But the only player I'm really excited about from this game is going to be T. Higgins. And, you know, Joe Burrow could have a decent day, top 12, top 10 type of day, low end QB1 type of, you know, game. He might throw a couple touchdowns, might throw one at T. Higgins. If anyone has a high probability of scoring a touchdown, I still think it's T. Higgins with or without Ja'Marr Chase. And then, you know, maybe Andre Iosivas might catch one. Maybe Jermaine Burton might catch one. Mike Gesicki, maybe. There will be some random Bengals receiver who catches a touchdown that helps prop up Joe Burrow's fantasy output for the day against the Patriots. All right, and we got Texans versus the Colts. CJ Stroud, as always, is a must start. He has the potential to rack up a lot of air yards, a lot of passing yards. He's a top 5 quarterback play for me this week. I think he's going to turn it up through the passing game, and he's going to throw for north of 300 yards. He has Stephon Diggs this year. Tank Dell is healthy again. Nico Collins is back. And Joe Mixon is a threat out of the backfield, a threat that, you know, CJ did not have last year as a receiving option out of the backfield. They also have Dalton Schultz. So I think CJ Stroud is going to have a hell of a day through the air. I think Joe Mixon is going to see a ton of volume. He's always kind of been a volume play, but especially this year, I think against a Colts defense that has struggled against receiving backs, Joe Mixon is a guy who's going to get his touchdown. He's going to get some receiving yards. He'll get his volume play and rush attempts, and he's going to be somebody who, you know, will be a formidable play. He's going to be a super, super strong flex or RB2 play for you this week. Nico Collins, if I had to pick a receiver, he's the guy. He seems to be CJ Stroud's number one option, the guy who CJ Stroud has the most chemistry with. So I think Nico Collins will go out. He'll have a big game against the Colts secondary. And on the opposite side for the Colts, I think Anthony Richardson, he'll make some mistakes. He'll have his turnovers. He's going to throw a pick. He might have a fumble. He's going to take some hard hits. But because of that dual threat ability and his ability to rush, and he's such a big guy that's hard to take down on the first tackle, he's going to have a really solid floor because of that rushing output. Now, in a game that could see a lot of scoring, I think Anthony Richardson will go ahead and manage to get you minimum 2 touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor is also a must start every week, and this game is no exception. He's going to see his opportunities. I believe the Colts will start the game trying to rush the ball and control the clock, control the tempo with Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson. And I have JT as another top 10 running back. He's a super strong RB1 play for me this week. And I think that he starts the game out getting a ton of work, and he'll fall into the end zone at some point throughout the game. Michael Pittman's going to be the top option for the Colts. He'll see the most targets of any receiver on the Colts. And with volume, typically the production follows. I got Michael Pittman as a really strong wide receiver 2 for you this week. All right, and we got the Dolphins and Jaguars, the next game up on the docket. This one's a really interesting game because there's a couple players that I think could pop out, and there's a couple guys who I think may not be as productive as everyone's hoping for. So when it comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, they added Eric Armstead, the defensive tackle from the San Francisco 49ers. So that'll help kind of bolster their interior defensive line, which did have troubles at the end of last season. They also are going to have a lot of opportunity on offense against this Miami Dolphins defense. So the Dolphins have a lot of struggles on defense that I don't think get highlighted often enough. Last year, the Dolphins struggled to stop the run. They lost Christian Wilkins, who was one of their premier run stoppers on the defensive line last season. Obviously, with Christian Wilkins being gone, that defensive line that already saw some inconsistency probably got a little bit worse. And the Dolphins secondary has also been somewhat banged up with some guys, you know, missing practice time. So after taking into effect that, hey, the Jaguars added Eric Armstead onto their interior defensive line, and after taking into account that the Miami Dolphins lost Christian Wilkins on their D-line and the Dolphins secondary has been somewhat banged up, what players are going to benefit this week on either side of the ball? Well, let's talk about the Jaguars offensive players. I think with the Dolphins secondary, you know, kind of dealing with some injuries through practice, Trevor Lawrence might be set up to have a pretty strong game through the air. Brian Thomas Jr. is their new wide receiver. He's paired up with guys like Gabe Davis, Evan Ingram. He has Travis Etienne out of the backfield. I think Trevor Lawrence could have a really big day through the air. And I have Trevor Lawrence as like a top six, top seven quarterback play this week. I think he's also going to clear 300 yards passing. I think he's going to have multiple touchdowns. And I think Travis Etienne coming out of the backfield for the Jacksonville Jaguars is going to have a tremendous game. He's my dark horse to finish the week as RB1 or RB2. I think Travis Etienne going up against the Miami Dolphins run defense that has lost Christian Wilkins is going to go ahead and see probably 4.5 to 5 yards per carry. I think this could be a game in which he gets his 16 to 20 carries, right? So if you want to do the math on that, you're talking about the guy seeing maybe anywhere between 75 to 85, 90 rushing yards. I think coming out of the backfield, he's going to go ahead and get additional work. And Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne are two of my favorites to finish on the higher side for their respective position groups. Evan Ingram, as you guys all know, is my favorite to end the year as tight end one. And I think he gets a really strong start this week. The Miami Dolphins secondary has been banged up. Evan Ingram's not going to get too much pressure coming off the line, especially with the struggles that the Dolphins have had on their defensive line. So I think Evan Ingram will go ahead and eat. He'll get easy releases off the line of scrimmage. Trevor Lawrence will have time to find him, not being under so much pressure. And then on the opposite side for the Dolphins, I think Devin Achane and Raheem Mostert could struggle a little bit more than what we're projecting. A lot of people have Devin Achane and Raheem, but also Raheem Mostert. They have these guys pegged to go out and just run for 150 yards per game. But I don't think that is the case. I think this Dolphins rushing attack is going to somewhat struggle against the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive line, especially now that they added an all-pro defensive tackle in Eric Armstead, who's only going to help shore up their rush defense. Now, given the Jaguars' past defensive struggles, Tua's going to have to find success in the passing game. Now, Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill. I don't care who you put him up against. He's going to exploit the secondary. He's going to go off for a couple big gains here or there. And ideally, Jalen Waddle's going to come into this game and, you know, he's going to start off hotter than he did last year. I think this game comes down to a battle between Tua and Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence has the easier secondary to go up against. So I think Trevor Lawrence has the better performance. I think Tua, you know, he's going to have his touchdown to Tyreek Hill that's bound to come. And, you know, maybe he gets another one throughout the day. I do think Tua is going to struggle with some turnovers with the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive line. I have the Jaguars as my dark horse to potentially make This might sound crazy, but they're my dark horse to potentially make the AFC Championship game. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to take that step forward. I think with Brian Thomas, with Gabe Davis, with Christian Kirk, with Evan Ingram, they're going to be airing the ball out deep early and often. And I believe that Travis Etienne is going to be able to eat off of that, with a lot of those defenses having to defend those guys deep down the field. Etienne's going to have more space in the middle of the field to go ahead and work, get easy receptions, rush for, great yards per carry. And I think that this offense is in its final form, right? A bunch of guys who can stretch the field, and a tight end and a running back who are exceptional at their positions that can take advantage of the now open space that they have available. So I got Tua, high-end QB2, Devin Achane, low-end RB1 at best. Raheem Mostert, probably a flex play. Tyreek Hill is a top three wide receiver. Even with those struggles, I think he'll get his targets and his yardage. Jalen Waddle is a wide receiver 3, low-end wide receiver 2 at best. And yeah, those are my projections for the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to be a top 6, top 7 quarterback, and I expect him to be one of the leaders in the NFL in terms of passing yardage this week. All right, and next game we got is Saints and Panthers. So talking about the Saints defense, the Saints struggled to generate pressure on the quarterback, especially last season. In 2023, the Saints ranked in the bottom 5 for pressure and sacks, which means that Bryce Young is going to have a ton of time to break down the defense, find his open receivers, and make the right play. We know that the Panthers have a new head coach in Canales. We know that they have a few new weapons like Xavier Leggett, Deontay Johnson, and I think that's actually going to benefit Bryce Young a ton. Bryce Young, I think, is going to have a major leap forward as a quarterback this year. He's super accurate. I watched some of the preseason games, and it really seems like he had a strong hold of the offense. I think he's a breakout candidate amongst quarterbacks. He's someone who's probably available on your waiver wire right now. And honestly, I'd go pick him up, put him in like my last bench slot, give it 2 to 3 weeks, and I think he'll be the leading quarterback on all of the waiver wire columns for the next month. I think Bryce Young is in for a much better season than what he experienced last year. Now, on the opposite side, for the Carolina Panthers defense, the Carolina Panthers traded away their top edge rusher in Brian Burns, which is going to significantly weaken their ability to also pressure the quarterback. This benefits Derek Carr because Derek Carr will have more time to work. This also benefits Rashid Shaheed, who's a deep threat and will now have time to get downfield and have passes attempted to him. So I think Rashid Shaheed is going to have a big catch, maybe a big touchdown this week. Chris Olave and Derek Carr haven't really seen eye to eye. I don't know what it is. They never seem to have like positive things to say about each other in the press. But I think Chris Olave gets his 4 to 5 catches. They'll be cool. I don't know why, and maybe this shouldn't matter, but now I'm just integrating personalities into fantasy rankings, and I do believe that Rashid Shaheed will be the biggest benefactor amongst receivers this week. I think that Alvin Kamara is going to be Alvin Kamara, and he's going to be a top 5, top 6 play at running back. I have the Panthers winning this game, though, and I think Bryce Young is going to do work. I think Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard is going to, they're going to have a lot of rush attempts and rush opportunities. And Deontay Johnson will be a nice wide receiver 3 for you. Xavier Leggett, he'll be an interesting play. He'll probably be a decent flex if you had to start him. But on the Saints side, I got Rashid Shaheed as actually, this is funny, but Rashid Shaheed is my top wide receiver playmaker for the Saints. I got Chris Olave as the guy who might get a few more receptions, but maybe not as many yards. Whichever one of them gets the touchdown is the one that will obviously outperform. And as I've already told you, I expect Rashid Shaheed to be the guy to come down with the big touchdown this week, especially against the Carolina Panthers defense that lost Brian Burns and doesn't have the same amount of pass rush, right? So we'll see what happens. But those are my projections for the Panthers and the Saints offensive playmakers and what I project them to do this Sunday when they play each other. All right, and we bring it now to the Giants and the Minnesota Vikings game. In that game, we have a couple offensive matchups I'm excited to look at. So the two receivers, the two big receivers from this game are Justin Jefferson and Malik Nabers. I expect Justin Jefferson to score more fantasy points in week one, just because Jefferson is a proven elite receiver. He is the focal point of the Vikings offense, even with Sam Darnold. And while Malik Nabers is talented, he is a rookie. He's going to need some time to adjust to the NFL level. I think the Vikings secondary is vulnerable, and Malik Nabers could have a couple big plays here or there, especially with Daniel Jones, who can run out of the pocket, create more time for Malik Nabers to create separation. I do expect Justin Jefferson to be a dog. I think Jefferson's going to be a top five, top six receiver this year. And once again, I believe he starts off this year hot. Now, Aaron Jones is the newest addition to the Minnesota Vikings offense in the backfield, and I project Aaron Jones to outscore Devin Singletary in fantasy points amongst the running backs. I think that Aaron Jones is going to be a key part of, the Vikings offense. He is someone who can catch out of the backfield. He's elusive when he's in the open field. While the Giants do have the addition of Brian Burns in their linebacker core, they have Dexter Lawrence. They have a couple of key defensive guys in the first and second level. I think Aaron Jones is one of those dudes who can split out. He can run out of the backfield. None of those guys are excellent when it comes to pass coverage, so Jones can really exploit them in terms of receptions out of the backfield. And I think he probably has a better day than a Devin Singletary, simply because I don't think the Giants are going to be in a position to really emphasize the run game as much as they might like to. Jordan Addison is another guy. I have him as like a wide receiver three in fantasy lineups. He'll have a couple passes here or there from Sam Darnold. Nothing to write home about. Nothing that's really going to change the dynamic of your team or of your matchup. He'll come in and get you, a solid amount of points. But I have Justin Jefferson as a top five wide receiver this year and this week. I have Malik Nabers as a top 15 player, top 20-ish player. Aaron Jones will be a high-end RB2 for me this week. Devin Singletary is a really nice flex play. And I have Jordan Addison as more so a wide receiver three. Sam Darnold's unstartable even in super flex. He's maybe a low-end QB2. Right. So while Justin Jefferson could go out there and get you 120 yards and a touchdown, for quarterback purposes, 120 yards and a touchdown, in a 4-point passing touchdown league, that's like 6 points. That's 6-7 points. Or that's a little bit more. It's like 8 or 9 points for the quarterback. He needs a lot more than that to even qualify as like a viable quarterback too. So without TJ Hockenson in the mix, with Jordan Addison kind of working off of an ankle injury, Aaron Jones could catch some passes out of the backfield. I don't have Sam Darnold having an exceptional day. I think he probably could see less than 200 passing yards, maybe gets a passing touchdown. He's going to have turnovers, especially with the pass rush that contains a Dexter Lawrence, that contains a Brian Burns. He'll have a day to kind of watch out for. But, yeah, I don't see Sam Darnold having too crazy of a performance. Daniel Jones, nice QB2 option. His legs give him a really solid floor. Malik Nabers will help his passing output somewhat. Probably a solid QB2 option as well. Chargers and Raiders are next up. When we talk about the Los Angeles Chargers defense, they do rely heavily on Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, who are both coming into this season healthy. So I think those guys are going to be able to generate, some good pass rush pressure, and I think because of that, they're going to go ahead and force Gardner Minshew, the starting quarterback for the Raiders, to make quick decisions. Now, Gardner Minshew, he's a cool quarterback, probably a lower tier NFL quarterback. I think with that pass pressure being there, with Derwin James and Asante Samuel Jr. coming back into the season, once again, they are also healthy, I think the Chargers defense is going to have a day. I believe that Gardner Minshew is probably a low-end QB2 for you this week. In terms of Raiders offensive players who might be able to produce, Davante Adams is always going to get his targets. Because of the volume, I think Davante Adams could put up a day that, makes him a candidate for a solid wide receiver 2, low-end wide receiver 1 type of week. But I don't really have much faith in a guy like Jacoby Myers or Michael Mayer or Brock Bowers. I got Jacoby Myers as like a low-end wide receiver 3 flex play. Brock Bowers outside of my top 10 for tight ends. Michael Mayer outside of my top 10 for tight ends. Zamir White is an interesting play. I think if the Raiders are smart, they'll rush the ball a lot and depend on their run game so they can neutralize that pass rush from Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. Zamir White is a big dude who's pretty athletic for his size. However, if the Chargers can get up, if Justin Herbert, who by most people's standards is an elite quarterback, if he can go out there, distribute the rock, involve a Ladd McConkey, involve a Josh Palmer, you know, get the ball out to guys in the backfield, the Chargers should have control of this game from a fairly early standpoint and should be able to go ahead and ride it out. So, you know, I think Zamir White, in order to, for him to really see the most of his effectiveness, they need to have a lead. But the only player in this entire game who I have being top 15, top 20 at their position, I have Justin Herbert being a top 12, top 13 quarterback. I think Ladd McConkey is going to go ahead and see a decent amount of volume. Josh Palmer will have a couple plays where he stretches the field. So those guys will be low-end flex options for you this week. In terms of the backfield with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, I think they're going to split carry similar to what you saw with Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum in Michigan, right? So I view J.K. Dobbins as more similar maybe to Donovan Edwards, Blake Corum more similar to Gus Edwards, right? So maybe J.K. Dobbins is the guy who's more attractive for fantasy football purposes because of his elusiveness. But irregardless, I think both those guys could step out. Whoever the better back is will still, at the end of the day, be a RB2. I think that's going to be Gus Edwards just because J.K. Dobbins is, he's coming fresh off of a pretty significant injury. So I got Gus Edwards being the guy week one that benefits the most. I think rest of the season, J.K. Dobbins eventually takes over that role. They both played in the Greg Roman offense when they both played for Baltimore. And J.K. Dobbins was more effective. However, Gus Edwards was more available because of Dobbins' injury history. And I think because of that, Greg Roman has more familiarity with Gus Edwards. And I believe Gus Edwards will be the starting running back and the guy who sees the most volume out of those two. I have the Chargers winning this game, but those are my projections on the Chargers and Raiders fantasy players. Next game is Broncos and Seahawks. So the Broncos lost Justin Simmons, their standout safety. So if the Broncos defense has a weakness, it's going to be maybe like deep in their coverage. I think that's going to pose a problem against Seattle, who has a new coordinator that likes to pass the ball early and often. JSN is in his second year. Tyler Lockett is back. DK Metcalf is DK Metcalf. Noah Fant, an elusive tight end. I think that the Seattle offense is going to be probably top five in pass volume this season, and they're going to show you that week one. I believe they're going to attack this secondary in Denver. Geno Smith might have a surprising day. I have Geno Smith coming out as maybe like a low-end QB1 this week. I believe that the Seattle Seahawks wide receivers are going to see a huge day this year, or this week, I'm sorry. And I do believe that Tyler Lockett is going to be the biggest benefactor, especially with the Broncos losing their safety and Justin Simmons. Tyler Lockett is the guy who's most likely to get deep, the guy who's most likely to be able to take advantage of, you know, maybe safety issues. And I think that Tyler Lockett's going to have a really good day. It's really strong flex, wide receiver 3 for you. DK Metcalf is going to see the volume, wide receiver 2 for you. JSN, I'm probably not starting week one. I want to see what he looks like in this McDonald, you know, offense. But he's somebody who, over the course of the season, could develop into a really strong flex, really strong wide receiver 3 for you guys. Now, on the Broncos offensive side, Bo Nix is their new quarterback. With the Seahawks defense, they mostly struggle with rush defense. I believe they were 25th in rush points allowed. So Javonte Williams is probably the guy who's going to see the most benefit. Bo Nix, I don't know what to expect from Bo Nix. I think he could complete a lot of passes, maybe like underneath, a lot of short passes. Maybe he rushes a little bit. Cortland Sutton is a guy who I'd keep an eye on. He's going to have a ton of volume. He might lead all receivers in this game in terms of just pure volume. I got Cortland Sutton as maybe a low-end wide receiver, too. I think he gets into the end zone. I think Bo Nix surprises people and has a pretty good day. I just don't know if the Broncos come out with the victory. Bo Nix is a QB2 for me this week. We'll play it safe. Javonte Williams could benefit from the Seahawks' run defense struggles that they had going back to last year. And if anyone's going to have like a breakout crazy day, I think it would be Javonte Williams. So he's kind of like a boom or bust option. If he booms, he's a top six, top seven running back for you this week. He's kind of like that surprise guy in the category. If he busts, he's probably like a RB3, low-end RB2 for you. My breakout candidate for this week is coming from the Dallas Cowboys and Cleveland Browns game. My breakout candidate is going to be Rico Dowdle, running back for the Dallas Cowboys. Rico Dowdle is going to go ahead and play the Cleveland Browns defense that has not only struggled in linebacker coverage, but they also have a little bit of defensive line death issues. The Browns linebackers, going back to last year, have struggled in pass coverage, which, you know, can be exploited by tight ends and running backs from the Dallas Cowboys. So Jake Ferguson and Rico Dowdle would be the two candidates to benefit from that. I think Rico Dowdle has a great day. I'm going to go ahead and give you a hot take, but I think Rico Dowdle sees over 100 all-purpose yards this week. I think he sees a touchdown. I think he ends up being the RB1 for this team. He's one of the younger backs in the backfield compared to, you know, Zeke and Dalvin Cook. He's elusive. He has the most juice, the most like quick twitch ability. And I think he utilizes that to go ahead and give the Dallas Cowboys a big win this week. Dak Prescott, I don't know what's good with CeeDee Lamb. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. He missed a decent amount of OTAs because of the, you know, the contract situation. So I'm not expecting Dak Prescott to have a big day this week. I think he has a pretty cool day. He's a high-end QB2 for me this week. And on the Cleveland Browns offense side, I mean, with the Dallas Cowboys defense, their weakness is the interior defensive line. Aside from, you know, Osa, the unit has kind of struggled. Guys like Mozzie Smith and Chauncey Golston are going to have to step up. Don't really know what to expect from those guys. I think Jerome Ford is probably going to have a decent day. He'll get you 60-ish yards. The Cleveland Browns will try to run the ball the best they can. The Cowboys have had issues stopping the run, which normally would be exploited by a guy like Nick Chubb out of the Cleveland Browns backfield. But because the Cleveland Browns backfield is kind of unreliable right now, we don't really know what to expect. Jerome Ford's the best running back they have. Ford might be their lead back, and he's a cool running back, but he's nothing to write home about. I think the Cowboys win this game. I don't really have much to say about any of the Cleveland Browns offensive players. David Njoku will be a top 10 tight end just because of the volume. He'll catch a couple passes here or there. It'll be enough to get you, you know, a few points. But the only guy I'm really excited about this week is Rico Dowdle. Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb might take some time to re-click up, get CeeDee Lamb in shape. I don't know what his snaps are going to look like. Jake Ferguson is another guy who I like a lot. This is a game I'm not super excited to watch, but if I had to bet, I would bet on Rico Dowdle and Jake Ferguson probably being the standout performers from this week's Cleveland Brown and Dallas Cowboys game. Mike Evans is going to have a humongous game this week for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in their matchup against the Washington Commanders. Mike Evans is probably going to get matched up against Emmanuel Forbes, the cornerback who we know has struggled. He was the first-round pick for the Washington Commanders last year. Emmanuel Forbes just wasn't good, and Mike Evans had a really great season last year. He ended the year as wide receiver 5. He's poised for probably one of the bigger games this week. I think he takes advantage of the Commanders' secondary weaknesses, and I think him and Baker Mayfield are going to connect early and often. With the Washington Commanders, obviously the cornerback depth is an issue. Bobby Wagner, who's one of their linebackers, has had issues in coverage as well, so now they're vulnerable to passes over the middle. That's where Chris Godwin and Kate Otten are going to be able to eat. And the Commanders historically have struggled with their rush defense as well, which is actually kind of the large weakness. I think the Buccaneers could be one of the highest scoring teams in the NFL this week with Rashad White, with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin eating up the middle. I think Baker Mayfield is a sneaky dark horse to end this week as QB1. As far as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, their biggest weakness is probably the edge rusher, right? Their ability to pressure the quarterback. And the Buccaneers last year allowed the fourth most passing yards. So Jaden Daniels should have the ability to stretch the field and complete a decent amount of passes. Terry McLaurin is going to have a huge day as well, just being a target hog. I wouldn't be surprised if he sees 10 plus targets this week. He's going to be the hot read for Jaden Daniels on a lot of plays. Brian Robinson Jr. is a running back that should be able to take advantage of the Buccaneers' edge rusher weakness. But Austin Eckler is another sneaky watch. He's a really sneaky flex play this week. Most of his rush plays come from working the edge. It comes from catching passes out of the backfield, working around the edge of the defensive line. And so if the Buccaneers struggle with, you know, edge rushing, I think Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson could benefit from that. Eckler, compared to Robinson, is a little bit more elusive, so maybe it helps his game a little bit more. But I have Terry McLaurin and Mike Evans both as top 12 plays. Mike Evans is a top 3 or 4 wide receiver for me this week, and Terry McLaurin is like a top 7 wide receiver for me this week. Both are going to see volume. Both are going to see deep passes downfield. Jaden Daniels should be able to exploit the Buccaneers secondary. I have the Buccaneers winning this game, but maybe Jaden Daniels keeps it close. And I think Jaden Daniels on the ground is going to be able to go ahead and rush, once again taking advantage of the edge rush pressure that may not be there for the Buccaneers. So Jaden Daniels will have a really great day. Of all the rookie quarterbacks, I think he has the best day. Terry McLaurin's going to be a target hog. Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler will eat it out of the backfield. Mike Evans is a candidate to potentially be wide receiver one, not too far off of that if things don't fall his way. Rashad White should be able to exploit the Commanders' poor rush defense. He could potentially have a top 10 running back day. I think the Buccaneers are going to put up a ton of points. I think the Commanders will play catch up. I think this will be beneficial for all fantasy players involved because the Buccaneers will excel on offense. The Commanders will be forced to keep up on offense, and we could see a high scoring affair there in the Buccaneers and Washington Commanders matchup. So the Rams will be playing their first game without Aaron Donald, who was their premier pass rusher over the last decade. That's going to significantly weaken the Los Angeles Rams pass rush as they play the Detroit Lions this week. They have the Sunday night matchup, and I think that's going to benefit Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So without the pass rush, you know, Jared Goff may not see as much pressure. Amon-Ra will be able to go ahead and get downfield, you know, make big plays happen. And the Rams, the secondary is cool. Like, it's all right. It's middle of the pack. But I think Amon-Ra is going to be a target hog. He's going to be a top 6, top 7 wide receiver play. Jared Goff could have a pretty strong game against the Rams without Aaron Donald. It's also a revenge game for him. He's playing his old team. So maybe that, you know, plays into it a little bit as well. And the Rams don't have the strongest linebackers, you know, especially ever since they lost Bobby Wagner. They've been trying to replace that. David Montgomery could have a pretty decent game. Jahmyr Gibbs should have a relatively decent game. I got Gibbs as like a low-end RB1, high-end RB2. On the Los Angeles Rams offensive side, you know, that Detroit Lions defense has struggled with their run defense, which has been a pretty big concern. So I think whoever gets the rushing attack between, you know, Blake Corum and Kyren Williams, whoever gets the bulk of the rushing attack will be the guy who benefits. It's likely going to be Kyren Williams just because he's the veteran and it's week one. Cooper Kupp, I think, is going to have a huge game. I think he's going to take advantage of the Lions secondary. Matthew Stafford is someone who's going to throw early and often for better or for worse. So the volume will be there for Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. I think Cooper Kupp has a better game than a Puka Nacua. I think in the playoffs, these guys played each other. Puka Nacua saw most of the targets. However, they still lost the game. Cooper Kupp was obviously still kind of coming off that injury. I think we see a little bit of a change, right? I don't think the team that lost is going to do the same thing twice. I think Cooper Kupp ends up being the target leader this time around. Puka Nacua would be the secondary option. And I think Cooper Kupp is in for a really big year this year. So those are the guys I'm watching out for. And yeah, I think between Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff ultimately ends up having the better day. Sam Laporta will get his targets as well. I know the Rams linebackers maybe aren't as strong as they used to be. I think Sam Laporta sees regression this year. I don't think he has the same year he had last year where he was a top 1, top 2 tight end. But I do think he sees a little bit of regression this season. He'll get his targets. He'll get his volume. I think he's a top five, top six tight end play. I think over the course of the season, though, we're going to see more regression. And I don't think he finishes as high in 2024 as he did in 2023. And the last game of the week, the New York Jets versus the San Francisco 49ers. When we break down the Jets defense, we know that they have probably one of the better defenses in the league. We know the Niners also have one of the better defenses in the league. So this is going to probably be a lower scoring affair. However, of the two teams, the Jets have struggled the most with the rush defense. So I think Christian McCaffrey, per usual, will see a relatively productive day on the ground. If he doesn't get it done on the rushing point, he'll get a bunch of receptions. Vice versa, if he doesn't get it done with receptions, he'll get it done on the ground. So I think Christian McCaffrey has a good day irregardless. He's almost, you know, matchup proof. Aaron Rodgers coming in for the Jets will be interesting. He's going to target Garrett Wilson a ton. The Niners have some secondary adjustments they're going through right now, especially with it being week one. I think Garrett Wilson takes advantage of that. He could potentially have a relatively big day. He's a low-end wide receiver one for me. Breece Hall against the Niners defense is going to be interesting. I watched a lot of Breece Hall, and a lot of his runs last year ended up in a pile of dust. The Jets don't have the greatest offensive line either. So I actually have Breece Hall as like a RB2 this week, maybe like a mid-tier RB2. We'll see if they can get him into the end zone and maybe improve upon that. But I don't think he's going to be ultra efficient on the ground. In regards to the San Francisco 49ers offensive players outside of Christian McCaffrey, the Jets lost cornerback Bryce Hall. Bryce Hall, not Breece Hall. So Brock Purdy, you know, hey, that's one less Jets, you know, cornerback you got to worry about. Deebo Samuel is probably the guy who I have the most faith in. I think Ayuk is going to end up getting matched up with Sauce Gardner. So he might not have the greatest day. Low end wide receiver two this week, maybe high end wide receiver three. Brock Purdy and Deebo Samuel are going to have to connect early and often. I think George Kittle, he's going to be playing the Jets secondary and their linebackers. Between Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, they'll have to eat. That's who Brock Purdy has the most experience with in OTAs this offseason. I have the Niners winning this game, but I think the game is going to be won based off of slot production. And, you know, with George Kittle and Deebo Samuel typically work in the middle of the field where slots typically produce, I think they'll be able to go ahead and rack up volume, and they'll be, you know, decent players for your fantasy teams this week. That is my synopsis on all 32 teams, on all 16 matchups. I hope you guys enjoyed. If you listened this far, please give me a follow. It means a lot. But until we meet again, good luck in week one of the fantasy season. I wish you guys all the best. And until we meet again, my name is Ja. This is Fantasy Football with Gumbo. Peace.